Hey, 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 tis I, Richard Dixon, Talk995.com, 2:01 our time. Thanks for tuning in. We try to put on a decent shindig for you each and every day. I regularly hear from people about a number of things. I mean, people will message me through Facebook, and I don't read every message. You have to know how many I get, please. I apologize, and I rarely respond to any of them. As I've said before, I'm not going to click on any attachment. I'm never going to, you know, look at a movie you send me, because these are ways that people send you viruses and things of that nature. And so I'm banned by my corporation from ever opening such things, because it could then attack our servers and get into our system and et cetera, et cetera. We just take the better safe than sorry method. And I decided a long time ago to stop harping on don't send me attachments, because it wasn't working, and people still send me attachments every day. I just don't open them, and I delete everything that comes in. But I do look at some of the stuff that people send me, some of the messages, and occasionally I'll respond, but it's pretty rare. But whenever somebody actually asks me about, well, you talk a lot about these guys. Is that true? Are they that good? First off, you don't have to bother with sending me them. The answer is yes. If I'm talking about them on my show, they're that good. I got one of these questions about Mr. Bugs the other day. Mr. Bugs, who handles the mosquito reduction, handles the termite bonding, obviously doing away with pests, pest control, furry rodents as well, and lawn greenification, a.k.a. turf management, getting rid of the weeds and the bugs that are keeping your lawn from being all that it could be. Look, you don't stay in business in the state of Alabama for 40 years without being great. You just don't. And the fact that they've expanded from a tiny little company that was working around the Montgomery area to now being statewide should speak volumes about just how good they are. Because the word of mouth is spread from person to person to person to person to person, and I'm telling people about it too. And the reality is, they do what they say they're going to do. They charge a very reasonable fee. They can come as often or as infrequently as you like. And they're really good at what they do. Isn't that what we all want? Mr. Bugs, 900-3433, 900-3433. If you're north of the city, I would give them a call on their statewide line, which is 844-MRBUGGS, or look them up online, MrBugs.com, MrBugs.com. They know what bugs you. Let's talk to our buddy Mark Spud Friedman, who is hanging with us here on the Big Talk 99.5 on a Thursday afternoon. What is on your mind today, Spudley? How are you, man?
I'm doing just fine. The weather's kind of decent. Warm weather right on the horizon, which is good for golf. And trivia seems to be opening. I like not wearing masks except when it's in a real close situation. So I'd say life is improving here. Now, my golf game, on the other hand, is going the other direction.
Oh, yeah, well, it's been going the other direction for a while now. No one wanted to tell you this, but
what are you saying?
I'm trying very hard not to say it, okay?
Thank you, man. That would be nice of you.
And that's sort of out of character for me. It's funny you bring up the masking situation, because I'm now, it's funny, you know, for the first a few months of this, you would regularly exit your car, get halfway through the parking lot, and you'd be like, damn, forgot my mask. You'd have to go back and get it again, right?
Right.
Now, I'm doing the opposite. I get a mask, I grab it on the way out of the car, I get halfway to where I'm going, I'm like, I wonder if anybody inside's going to be wearing these. And thus far, I've run across a lot of places where there are no masks, and I just shove my mask in my pocket and join the party, because that's the way I prefer it. Frankly, I like the no masking thing. I've had the COVID. I'm not concerned about it. You know, I'm immune for the foreseeable future, and eventually I'm sure I'll get a shot, although apparently not the Johnson & Johnson. What do you make of that, by the way? 7 now people with clotting issues out of 7 million doses. Do you get the feeling that this isn't quite passing the smell test? What's this all about?
Well, either it's an anomaly, which 7 out of 7 million is not the kind of thing that would derail any drug test. However, there's possibly a whole lot more people who were similarly affected but not as severely. And so now you have to go back and see if there's a connection. Mm-hmm. They seem to have isolated it down to women 18 to 48, which if that's what the current science says, and you know I always follow the science, Richard.
That's but, you. You're Mr. Follow the Science.
Yeah, doctor. You can call me Dr. Spud.
Oh, excuse me.
And you know, but if the other people that are outside of that, like men or older women, want to get the Johnson & Johnson, I would say we ought to permit that. It's a one-shot thing. It's a more traditional vaccine than the others, and it doesn't seem to have that negative effect. If it turns out that it's dangerous for that segment of the people, then we just tell them, get the Moderna or the Pfizer.
Right.
And that's how you learn. When you rush things in and don't go for years and years and years, then you're going to have some things pop up. You say, hey, let's go look more closely at this. It wasn't a known problem when we were testing. It's not like we hid it. It wasn't a known problem. Now it's come to light. Let's thoroughly explore it and continue to give those Johnson & Johnson shots to men and older women because there's no indication it wouldn't be good for them. I got my second shot Tuesday, so I'm on my way. Absolutely zero side effects.
You're one of the few.
I'm short and fat, but I don't think it you know, I don't think it applies to that.
Didn't have a thing to do with the shots, as near as I can tell. And it's funny that people are acting like this is the first time that the FDA has gone, hey, wait a minute, it turns out this might not be as good as we thought it was. I would point you towards something very simple called Tavist D, which was a really great cold medication. It was the only one that I could take that made me feel like I was normal. You know, I mean, I could be suffering from a terrible head cold, take a Tavist D, and it would clean me out like nobody's business. Now, my head would also feel a little squiggly, you know. I'd feel a little loopy because the thing was so powerful and so strong. But I swore by it because it was the one that would allow me to go on the air and sound as if I didn't have a cold. But eventually, the FDA said, well, we're having some problems with this. It's causing heart problems in some people. And they pulled it off the market. Not the first time. You know, they've done it with other stuff. There was a drug they used to put in your eyes after they had dilated your eyes. They had a drug for a brief period that could undilate your eyes, if that's such a word. And they had to take that off the market because a couple of people had heart attacks after using it. And while they couldn't come up with any particular connection between the drug and the heart attacks, they decided, you know, better safe than sorry. So this happens more often than people are willing to believe. But at the same time, I kind of feel like one of the biggest problems we're having here is that in other countries, a lot in Africa, what we would call developing countries, right? That's the cool term we have. We used to call them third world countries. Yeah, now they're developing countries. India is one, where people are already a little suspicious of the vaccine, and then you have America going, well, we're not taking this vaccine. This vaccine is dangerous. So now you're just giving these people good excuses to not take the vaccine at all, and you're frightening the hell out of them, and I can't help but look at it and think, is this the best way to handle this? I don't know. 7 out of 7 million, I have a feeling like we could have done a little better research before we started panicking and pulling stuff off the market. On the other hand, I didn't have to make those decisions, and that's probably a good thing.
At one time, I was taking a anti-inflammatory in the NSAID grouping, and they pulled it off. And then I think they tested it more thoroughly and found out that it was not causing the problems that seemed to be correlating with some of the and then they put it back on. So it's not doesn't mean that it won't be reaffirmed soon and back in action. But when you have a red flag, it's like you said with downloading videos, let's be safe, let's check it out more thoroughly, and then when we say, okay, now it looks good or it looks good for anybody except this group of people, then we'll reinstitute it. We rushed this thing. The FDA, if this weren't a pandemic and an emergency, the FDA would have taken 2 or 3 more years of testing. And we might have learned all of this, but when you're it's like when you're, if you're on fire, you're going to jump in the water. The fact that there might be a crocodile in there is not really an immediate concern for you.
No, you're giving him a warm meal, which is nice. On the other hand, if you think about this for a second, you are 200 times more likely to catch the Rona than you are to get a blood clot from the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. 200 times more likely. So if you're given a choice between, all right, you can take this vaccine and maybe 1 in a million you get a blood clot issue, or you don't take the vaccine and you have a 200 times greater chance of getting the Rona, which way are you going to go with that? You know,
if I were a woman with, say, age 30, And my pharmacy, which my pharmacy called me the other day and said they had the Johnson & Johnson. Unfortunately, I had already had my first Pfizer shot. But if I were a woman in that category and my pharmacy said, we got Johnson & Johnson, I'd say, I'm going to wait and go look around for the Pfizer or Moderna just to be on the safe side. Now, if it was either Johnson & Johnson or nothing, then mm-hmm. that would be a close call of whether you wanted to risk the Rona or risk the clotting.
Let's take a break. We've got to do that now, and we'll hurry back. Your calls are welcome at 545-9950, 844-455-9950. Don't you dare touch that dial. A little Phantom of the Opera. You got to go back to, like, the Lon Chaney version of this to really find a great monster movie. The Gerard Butler version just did not work for me at all. Although Minnie Driver was great in that, you know.
Look, it's one of the greatest Broadway shows of all time, and he's a monster. Sure. His face is hideously deformed. I mean, Peter Griffin wanted to see the gross half of his face.
Let's go to the phones where Hunter is standing by.
Hunter just dropped. Sorry.
Hunter is no longer with us. Hunter has left. He's gone. It's a shame. We were just about to talk to you. Then I'll tell you about Parrott Structural Services and how they've got the integrity and the experience to make sure that you do not have a problem with your foundation. Now, if you do, if you think, you suspect, you look around and you see a little something. This something doesn't look quite right here. Why is this cracking? Why do I have stair step cracks? Why do I have this? Why is there a crack in the inside of the house and outside of the house? I need some answers here. Something very funny is going on. Okay, fine. That's where you pick up the phone and you call them. And that number is 668-2626 or online at parrotss.com. You can visit them there and you can find they got a good education at parrotss.com. They really do. I mean, really do. You can find out so much about it there that you don't even need me to tell you. You just need me to go to their website, parrotss.com. That's all you need to know. Parrotss.com. The end. You'll really, really, really appreciate the fact that these guys are all about getting a structural engineer, so you never have to worry about whether or not you are getting duped or taken for a ride. They're very serious about what they do because they've been doing it for a long time. Parrott Structural Services, 668-2626, online at parrotss.com. Mark Spud Friedman, our guest in this hour. And it's funny, you're talking about red flags. I'm talking about red flags when it comes to these vaccines. We're also concerned about red flags. You've been married 3 times. I've been married once. We've both been divorced now a total of 4 times. You'd think that, you know, if we were so good at red flags, we would have noticed them sooner, huh?
Like you're telling me this, like I never thought of this before. You know, it's like stepping on the same landmine 3 or 4 times. Well, I lost one leg, but I thought, you know, there might not be any more there, so I just went on.
Figured I'd just keep going.
Ridiculous.
What the heck?
You know, you can't be good at everything. This is one thing I'm not good at.
Yeah, so you decided to stop doing it.
Yes, it took me a long time to learn. You know, I walked into the brick wall 3 times. I said, you know, I'm going to go around this time.
He's Chevy Chase in the...
Now I got Queen Elizabeth on my dating site.
Oh, that's good. She's on Tinder. It's about time. You know, Liz, she's independently wealthy. She's newly single. She's ready to mingle. I kid. There are people out there who love the British royal family. I can't understand why, but mine is not the reason why. It's what they're all about.
I'm in love with the royal flush.
Yeah, I know. I know you are. You love you some gambling, don't you? You going to get yourself down to Biloxi?
You going down to Biloxi again?
I would love to get there. I don't know when we'll have the opportunity to do it, but I'm understanding that they're doing away with more and more of the masks, which is good. And I think once they completely and totally do away with those and maybe lose the plexiglass, I'll be a lot more excited about it. That just really put a damper on our last trip. That and me losing money.
It certainly took a little of the excitement out, the interaction out. The best part of the last trip, aside from me destroying the 3-card poker table, was I was talking about you at a table where I'm playing that 3-card poker, and the guy to my right says, wasn't he on in Orlando? Yes, he was on in Orlando. He said, I used to listen to him, and then I got you to, I texted you and come by, and he was thrilled to meet you. He had listened to you all the time you and Jay were on down there in Orlando. So your fame spreads wide.
Oh, he was the one who did it. Okay, good. It's nice to know somebody was listening to us. What the hell's going on in Minnesota? Can I ask you that? More arrests last night, 24 arrests as there were more riots in Minnesota. Speaking of running into the brick wall multiple times, look, the police officer was arrested. She has been charged with manslaughter in this case. It's going to take a while before it comes to trial. What do these people want that they're not getting?
It's not real clear, but I think if they could snap their fingers and get a change, it would be that police would react to black people the same way they react to white people. I think police, through experience, and probably maybe anecdotally okay, but certainly theoretically not okay, are more apprehensive when they see a black person than a white person. And perhaps that's the kind of people that are attracted to the police department and so forth, but so they're on edge. This woman, if you watch the video, she is freaking out.
Yeah.
And this police lady has been on the force 26 years and is a trainer. But you can have 26 years of jaywalking tickets and expired license tags and things like that. And the first time you're confronted with possibly being shot, you may not be ready for it, and no amount of training might get you ready for it. But I don't like the story much about she thought it was a taser. She yelled taser,
yeah.
But I mean, you know enough about weaponry for the difference in size and weight of a taser and a gun, and that the taser is in your left hip and your gun is on your right hip. So she's going to be convicted and sentenced to something.
Yeah.
And we don't know exactly what yet.
I think we're all kind of supportive of that. She clearly made a horrible mistake. Somebody lost their life as a result of that mistake, and that's not acceptable. But the idea that this is anything other than an anomaly, again, 3.5 million interactions per year between police and citizens. In 2019, the year for which we most recently have stats, because nobody left their house in 2020, right? 14 African Americans were killed, unarmed. 14 African Americans unarmed were killed by police officers. 25 white people unarmed killed by police officers. How much more do they interact with white people than African Americans? Or maybe do they interact with African Americans more? I don't know. In some of those cases, unarmed or not, the people that were shot were attacking police officers, sometimes with something like a brick or with their bare hands. And those did not qualify technically as being armed, even if you know karate. You supposedly are not technically armed if you're attacking a police officer with a brick or your bare hands. So not every one of those was even they shot a guy without any weapon. And it's, again, 14 versus 25 out of 3.5 million interactions. This isn't something that's happening consistently by any stretch of the imagination.
After 25 years of our friendship, you know one of my most important principles is a single standard. I don't care as much about what position you hold as long as you are consistent from one situation to another. You saw the video of the Georgia police officers shot, and that's horrifying. You see, because the viewpoint you have is from behind the police officer, and the automatic weapon is fired straight at him. Over there in Georgia, and we don't get much reporting on that. Black suspects and white policemen, and then the one with the in the Capitol building. Didn't the Capitol police officer shoot an unarmed white woman?
Absolutely did. Shot her dead, and didn't actually attempt to use any other method of restraining her. And then you look at the situation that took place in Virginia, where you had a military guy, a lieutenant who was African-American. He was wearing his camo, and he got pulled over by a Virginia police officer, state trooper, I don't recall, who just behaved horribly.
Yeah.
Who just behaved horribly. And you look at it and go, okay, so obviously every situation is going to be mildly different, but for the love of God, can we just stop pretending that police officers are going out and randomly shooting unarmed black people on a regular basis? Because it's not happening. And we need to stop pretend that it's happening, because it's what's leading to a whole lot of looting and violence. And there ain't going to be nothing for sale at Target pretty soon in Brooklyn Center if these people keep it up. Dollar Tree may still have some of those little green air fresheners. But other than that, yeah, First News Time, back in a moment. That would be Silence of the Lambs, right?
Yes, sir.
It's a song that's playing when the girl gets nabbed just outside of her van. And what a great scene that is. It puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again. 231 Talk995, Talk995.com. You know, every once in a while you run across a situation that you can't handle on your own. Why? I was talking to a gentleman earlier today about this, and the strange imprature that society puts upon having a college degree. Well, I want someone who's got a college degree. Why? Does the job call for a college degree? Well, if it does, then absolutely. If not, then why does it matter whether or not the person has a college degree? I've never understood that. There are a handful of people I want to have a college degree. The people that design my bridge, I want them to have an engineering degree. That's kind of important. The guy who's performing surgery on me or my loved ones, be really good if he went to college. And my lawyer, I want him to have gone to college, and fortunately he did. But if you run across a situation that you can't handle and you need yourself a lawyer, who are you going to call? Chuck Davis. No, Chuck Davis, attorney at law, chuckdavislaw.com is the guy that you want to get in touch with because he's my lawyer, and he's been my lawyer for a while now. He handled my will. He does $99 simple wills. My will was more complex. It would cost you a little bit more, and that's perfectly acceptable. It's not just that, though. I mean, wills, estates, sure, contracts, absolutely. Divorce, custody, he handles all of these things, real estate, sure. But he also handles, you know, the slip and fall cases, the personal injury cases, the wrongful death, the medical malpractice, vehicular accidents, those cases where the insurance company is trying to stiff you. They go, well, we'll give you this much. Okay, I think I should get more. We don't really care what you think. We're going to give you what we're going to give you. That's where you get the law involved, and Chuck Davis might just be the guy for you. So you can call him up at 823-9992, 823-9992. Make an appointment. Tell him your story. Your initial consultation will be at no cost to you, and he can tell you at the end of it whether or not you have a case. And if you have a case, whether or not he's the right guy to handle it, okay? So 823-9992, no representation is made that the legal services provided are superior to legal services provided by other attorneys. If you are so injured from your accident, your slip and fall case, your personal injury, then he can come to you if that's what you need. ChuckDavisLaw.com, 823-9992. Talking to Mark Spud Friedman, also an attorney, although non-practicing because, well, he got it right. He doesn't need to practice anymore, right?
That's right. I quit.
My story, and I'm sticking to it. There you go. While you're here, let's check in with Bob from Deutschland über alles. He has got some thoughts on the big stupid question of the day, which is your favorite monster movie. What do you got, man?
Yes, sir, buddy. One answer to that, plus one question I'd like to hear you and Mark comment on later. The big answer is did you ever see The Curse of the Mummy's Tomb? I thought that was really scary.
The Curse of the Mummy's Tomb. I probably have. I don't recall it, but I'm sure I have, yeah.
That was really frightening. Did you hear, Richard, about this CNN staffer that's exposing the propaganda stuff on CNN News? Everybody involved, and now they're getting other whistleblowers. Chris Chester, I think was his name. And
yeah,
he used to be a CNN staff.
Well, he actually is a director at CNN, and it was...
You know about that, if you can comment on it.
Absolutely. It was Project Veritas that caught him, basically. They recorded him on a secret camera, saying all kinds of things that they normally would not say out loud at CNN, which is pretty amusing.
Right.
All right, keep listening, Bob. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Chester said, Spud, that that they did actively attempt to campaign for Biden and get Trump out of there, which was kind of stupid on their part because their ratings have done nothing but tank since they got rid of Donald Trump. And now, the great thing about Project Veritas is they let this stuff out in drips and drabs. They don't just dump the whole story at once and let it all sort of fester and disappear in a day. They give you a piece one today, piece two tomorrow, piece three maybe 3 days after that. Today's is that CNN admits they hyped COVID numbers for ratings, to the point where this Chester idiot was saying, you know, we wanted those numbers to be higher, those death tolls. That's why he put them right on the screen. We wanted them to be higher. And then I thought, what am I rooting for? But these are the things we don't say out loud. He said the quiet part out loud, Spud.
Yes, and he regrets it now. And aren't there a lot of conversations that we're glad that didn't get recorded?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And yet at the same time, you know, this is stuff that CNN was engaging in while pretending that they're even-handed. Just stop pretending you're even-handed.
They're not surprised by this, are they?
No, I'm not. I'm certainly not. But I don't know. Let's talk to Steve in Roanoke, Virginia. We're reaching Roanoke, Virginia. How about that? Steve, you're on Talk 99.5 on the Birmingham Broker phone line. What's up?
Yeah, it's iHeart. Hey, Richard. I want to have a conversation today, and you're a good guy. But I watched this video yesterday for the first time, and I'm going to ask you Mark's opinion also. Do you think the police did a good job in that whole situation? Because they lost control. I mean, they went and got his license. They went back to the car. They ran his license. They come back up to the car. And it was like they wanted him to make a move to run, is what it looked like to me. And that's
why did you get that sensation? What was it about their behavior that made you think they wanted him to run?
Well, because they knew who he was.
Yeah.
They knew he ran before.
Uh-huh.
And there was conversation from... Okay, go ahead.
Well, what about their actions... At that time, we know what they knew, but what about their actions at that time made you think that they wanted him to run?
All right, so they know he's a runner, so they put him right beside his driver's seat. They didn't close the door to his car when they tried to handcuff him. They could have took him to the back of the car and got him away from that, closed the door, took the keys, whatever. But instead of doing it the way they did it, and then. When he made a decision to make that run, they were quick to say, taser, taser, taser. That was the code. The boy or the officer who was in the front seat with him got out of the way within 5 seconds. She was holding the gun on the guy for like 5 seconds before she shot him, and she couldn't make the determination it was not a taser in that amount of time. It was like, they wanted to shoot the guy. I mean, that's what it looked like to me. Because if they wanted to apprehend this guy, they did not a good job at all.
Well, here's the good news. Charges have been filed, and obviously the guilty party or the person who's accused of having engaged in this activity, I guess innocent until proven guilty, has been arrested and is now out on bond. And all of this will end up in front of a court of law. And if there are people who are closer to the case who have a better handle on it than I decide that maybe she needs to be charged with something more than manslaughter, then they'll probably do that. But I'll leave that up to somebody who's got a higher pay grade. I think, yes, did they handle it poorly? Well, without question, the man ended up dead. I don't think there's a question about whether or not they handled it poorly, right? But was that by design? No, I don't think so. I think you might be reaching.
Yes, no. Because of the way they did it. I mean, I'm telling you, when you walk up to the car, and they could have got him to the back of the car. They could have put him on the ground.
Sure.
Not let him stand right there and give him the opportunity to make
it. Are you a police officer, Steve? Have you ever been a police officer?
No, I was in the military.
Okay. I think we're done with this conversation, Steve. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. I just got to say, I'm not really comfortable with people saying, well, you should have done that, or you could have done this, or this other thing. That's the point at which I just look at them and go, you've never been in that situation. You have no idea. You have no idea. Should they have closed the driver's side door? Yes. Hindsight is always, as Yogi Berra said, 50-50, right?
the thing that is that I would say with quite a bit of confidence is almost never a policeman would like to shoot someone unless they are personally threatened with being shot.
I can tell
you. Anyone goes up and says, "I'm gonna shoot this guy."
Yeah, within seconds.
Right, it doesn't make any difference anywhere in the world. I say to the idea that I'm looking forward to shooting this guy.
Right.
That's never a good idea. I don't like the guy's theory too much on that.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I think it was handled poorly. I do not think for a second that was by design. And I can tell you with great certainty that within a few seconds of that that shot being fired and that car then crashing and the occupant being dead, every single person involved in that arrest understood Brooklyn Center's going to be on fire tonight. They all knew that. Everybody knew that. Brooklyn Center's going to be on fire tonight. Now, why the hell would you engage in an activity that was going to create that and make the police force look bad? I don't think anybody does that by design.
Her career.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, good.
Will end her career.
Oh, yeah. I think it's a given.
It wasn't that she was totally unaware of that. So I agree with you. That's a big stretch. I have the idea that this policewoman at the start of this interaction had a notion that she'd like to shoot this guy is outrageous.
Yeah. I think you're pulling a... You're pulling hard on that one. Hey, 242, let's take a break. We'll hurry back. Richard Dixon, Mark Spud Friedman, Talk995, Talk995.com. Don't go away. Yeah, that would be an American Werewolf in London right there. Bad Moon Rising. Spud doesn't know any of these because he doesn't like monster movies. In fact, it was the Hound of the Baskervilles that swore him off of horror movies. And now he only watches uplifting sports films and sports films that aren't that uplifting. Oh, comedies. The occasional comedy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do actually have some monsters that I like.
Really?
Yeah, you ready?
Sure.
Herman Munster.
I love him. Munsters Go Home, great film. Yeah.
Plus, he was even better as the judge in My Cousin Vinny. Mr. Gambini, you on drugs.
What is a ute?
Were the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park monsters?
Yeah, I guess you could call them monsters. That's not bad. I like that.
They were a little scary. And then the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
It just slipped in there. I couldn't help
That's
myself.
Right.
I was trying to think
Don't
of something.
Think about
completely.
Anything. And then my favorite monster in the history of moviedom,
yeah.
Peter Boyle.
Yes. Yeah, I love me some Young Frankenstein. That's some good stuff, man. Very good
He was a monster. This is not the brain of Hans Delbruck, is it? No, no, it isn't.
No.
Abby something, or Abby Normal, Abby. I believe.
I'm almost certain that was the name.
I put a abnormal brain in a 7'6", 350-pound monster.
Sedative?
Rotten
Sedative? Ixnay on the Ottenray. Ixnay on the Ottenray. Sedative?
Okay. So now here's some things I want to talk about in our last 6 minutes. Supreme Court packing.
Yeah.
And here's what I put. There's I told you there's this group that I'm part of. At least they've left me in for the time being. They may kick me out any minute. But this guy pretty thoughtfully put, look, when there were nine justices, there were nine circuits. The Ninth Circuit was the longest one. Alabama was part of the Fifth, which included Texas and Louisiana. It was huge, and they broke it off into two, and now we're part of the 11th Circuit, which sits in Atlanta. So he says, now there are 13 circuits, and that seems to, since one Supreme Court judge was assigned to each circuit, we should have 13 Supreme Court justices. I said, very sound reasoning. Did you suggest that 3 years ago?
That's a fair question, and there are many people, among them President Trump, when he was in office, who suggest that the Ninth Circuit is biting off way too much, and they need to break it up into about three circuits, which would then expand it from 13 to 15. So should we go to 15 justices? You know, at what point do we decide we've had enough? I think nine is a nice number. It works. It has gone both ways. It has been majority liberal. It has been majority conservative. As you can see, it can sometimes even change with the same makeup. You see John Roberts move from right to left over the course of the past few years. So, you know, this concept that somehow we need more judges is nothing more than a desperate attempt by a team who's upset and wants to get their way.
That's exactly right, and that's what they want, and I promise you, that if it was if they went to 13 and then the Republicans took control, say, in 2024 of both houses and the presidency, and they wanted to move it to 17, there'd be an uproar. You can't do that.
Why would you do that? That's crazy.
It's the old double standard. What did you think of Derek Chauvin not taking the stand?
I didn't think anything of it. I understand you can't hold somebody responsible. A, he may just be terrible at getting on the witness stand and handling that sort of thing, and his lawyers decided, yeah, we're not going to put him through that because he's going to fall apart on cross or whatever. And I know the jury is actually instructed to pay no mind to the fact that the accused did not testify. I don't know whether or not they're able to do that. Do you think they can?
They're supposed not to. It's like in any trial, and even the ones you see on TV, the jury will disregard.
Right.
Well, you'd like to, but you can't really unhear something, and it winds around in the complexes of your mind, and it might have some influence, despite the fact that you try to abide by the judge's ruling. My other question about Chauvin is, what do you think he's hoping for right now?
I can't even begin to imagine. Probably, if there's going to be a guilty plea or if there's going to be a guilty verdict, I would hope it would be on the absolute lowest of charges against me. But,
I think he would, if you offered him a plea right now, how about guilty of manslaughter, the weakest of the three charges, and 10 years to serve, he would be thrilled with that.
He might be.
That's kind of a desperate situation to be in when that sounds good to you.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't watch much of the trial, to be honest with you. I know what was coming out of it in terms of the news stories I was reading, but I certainly got the opinion that they were being shaded heavily in the direction of the prosecution. You can't get away from the fact that George Floyd had three times a lethal limit of fentanyl in his system. I mean, that's got to be something that the defense played up a great deal and said, it really doesn't matter what Derek Chauvin did. George Floyd was going to die from this. And I don't know whether they said that or not. I assume they did, because that's certainly something that's been in the news for some time. And how the jury sees that, I guess we'll find out Monday or shortly thereafter once they render their verdict.
I would guess closing arguments might take, you'd like, Clarence Darrow very famously once had a 13-hour closing argument, but I would guess that if you want to keep the jury's attention, it'll be about an hour each, and the judge will give some instructions, as they always do, as to what the responsibilities of the jury are, and then he will probably break for lunch, and then they'll start deliberating sequestered in the sense that they go back in their jury room. I don't think he'll keep them on site during the entire, but he might. But then they'll be there, could be there for an hour, could be there for 3 or 4 days, going back through all of this and trying to make a decision. And one of the things the defense attorney said that was very important is this case is not about race. It's not about race relations. It's not about the reaction of anyone, regardless of what you do. This case is about one man. And did he kill another man? And that's really all you're in here for. If you think any of those other things the judge is going to explain to you, they are not factors and you shouldn't consider that. Now, again, whether the jury can exclude that from their own minds, we'll only learn in the future.
True story. There you go. Mark Spud Friedman, a pleasure as always. We'll do it again next Thursday. Hope to see you before then.
I'll be here.
I'll be back tomorrow at noon. Talk at you then. Leland Live up next. Richard Dixon. Bye-bye now!